Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6 together this morning and consider the armor of God from Ephesians chapter 6. And we'll just begin reading again in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So we are encouraged by the Apostle Paul through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to be strong in the Lord, to trust in the power and strength of our God, the strength of Jesus Christ as the captain of our salvation, and to put on and to adorn ourselves with the whole armor of God, with every component of the armor of God, where there is no body part that is exposed to the wiles and the temptation of Satan. And again, we're reminded in verse 12 that we don't ultimately wrestle against solely flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. So we have to take on the whole armor of God. It's very important that we put on every piece of this armor, and we don't leave one piece of our body vulnerable in the midst of this warfare that we are in the Lord's army. So we have to take on the whole armor of God to be able to withstand the wiles of Satan and the temptations of Satan, the schemes and the deception of Satan in the evil day, and notice, having done all to stand. So we have to be firm. We have to be strong. We have to stand up for the truth, stand up for the Word of God. And then the first component of the armor of God, we have seven components, seven pieces of equipment that make up the armor of God. And as you know, the number seven is a number of perfection and completion in the Word of God. So we are perfectly protected if we put on the whole armor. And the first of these pieces of armor that God has given to his people in his army that we are to put on, the very first one that's mentioned is the belt or the girdle of truth. Verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 6. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Now, this is language that sounds a little bit odd to us in 21st century America, but this is language that would be very relevant to the readers in the first century in the Middle East and in Ephesus. Because people during those times, in the Old Testament as well as in the early New Testament, wore long flowing robes. And if you've ever tried to wear a long robe, particularly females, if you've ever tried to wear a dress that goes well beyond your knees, maybe all the way down to your feet, you wear this long robe, and men wore long tunics and long robes as well. So if you've ever wore that, you know it's very difficult to run, and it's very difficult to be very agile and responsive in a robe like that or in a dress. So the admonition that's given many times in the Old Testament and quite a few times in the New Testament as well is to gird up your loins. So when you see that language, what that means is you have this long flowing robe, and if you don't make a concerted effort, if you aren't diligent to pick up that robe and gird it to where you have better mobility, then you're not going to be able to run your race of discipleship. You're not going to be able to move freely in the midst of a battle in the manner that you ought to. So therefore, we are encouraged to gird about our loins with truth, to put on the belt or the girdle of truth. So, unfortunately, we have a tendency in our discipleship to maybe just get loose and not be diligent and not be purposeful and diligent in our discipleship. So, what is the response to that? To gird up your loins. That admonition is given many times in the Old Testament. We won't highlight all of them, but one admonition in particular in Exodus chapter 12, when Moses was delivering the instruction to the people of Israel as they were about to take the Passover and be liberated from Egyptian captivity, he says that you take the Passover with your loins girded and for you to be ready to go. In other words, you need to be prepared to move. You need to be prepared to have mobility, and you need to be ready to get moving when God opens the door. And we need to do that as well in our walk of discipleship. So therefore, we have this admonition in the New Testament that is a spiritual application of a natural principle that we see that type of lesson very often in the Word of God. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 13, we are told to gird up the loins of our mind. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So he says, gird up your loins. You have to be diligent. You have to be purposeful. You can't be laissez-faire and just think that when the battle comes to you, that I don't have to gird up my loins. I don't have to tighten up my robe to improve my mobility, because I am going to be at a disadvantage if I leave my robe ungirded, right? If I leave my robe down and flowing, then I'm not going to be able to move quickly from side to side. And that's necessary in the midst of a battle, isn't it? Those that are in battle have to have their loins girded. They have to be prepared. And now he's saying in a spiritual way, we are in a warfare. We're in a warfare, particularly for our mind and for our heart. A belt or a girdle protects your abdomen. It protects your middle section. And that's a very vulnerable part of the body for a military soldier. So this girdle protects our abdomen. It protects our middle section, but it also prepares us to be able to fight freely and to be able to fight without restriction. So therefore, we have this admonition to gird up the loins of your mind. In other words, be ready, be prepared, be diligent, be prepared for battle, and be prepared to do what is necessary when the battle comes to you. It's very important that we are not weak when the battle comes to us. That's why we're told to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We have this admonition in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and in verse 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. And notice, quit you like men. Be strong. Quit you like men. Now, I understand there may be some sisters that are listening to me today, but what he's saying is be tough, be tenacious, be willing to fight acceptably. Don't walk around with your robe just flowing all around. No, gird up your loins. Quit you like men. Stand fast in the faith. Be strong and prepare yourself for the battle. Quit you like men and be willing to fight for the name of God. As David said as he went to fight Goliath, is there not a cause? And the cause is the glory of God. The cause is standing up for truth, right? What is this girdle of? It's the girdle of truth. It's the belt of truth. And what is the church commissioned to be? In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, we're told that the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. We are the custodian of God's truth here in this world. So therefore, we're the ones that have to take up that belt of truth. We're the ones that have to stand for that truth and be the pillar and the ground of the truth and be steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord, but especially always abounding in the truth of God's word. You need to be prepared and you need to gird up the loins of your mind, because Satan is trying to corrupt your mind. He's trying to deceive your mind. It's also very important for us to put on the helmet of salvation. We'll consider that at a later date. The helmet of salvation, to remind ourselves that we're saved by God's sovereign grace, and that protects our minds because Satan is attempting to corrupt our minds. That's why we need to gird up the loins of our mind. Our minds need to be prepared and vigilant and sober and circumspect to be looking out for the temptations of Satan, not to be lazy and laissez-faire, because Satan is the god of this world, and it describes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 about the god of this world deceiving the minds and corrupting and blinding the minds of those that don't believe. Satan is trying to deceive the mind of God's people. How do we combat Satan's attempt to corrupt the minds of God's children? We gird up the loins of our mind, right? And we put on the girdle of truth. And we take up along with the belt and the girdle of truth what is listed as the sixth piece of our armor in this sequence. And that sixth piece is the Word of God, or the sword of the Spirit. And we know that the Word of God is truth. We're told that in John chapter 17 and verse 17, Jesus Christ speaking, affirms that his word is truth, and that is how we withstand the wiles of Satan. John chapter 17 and verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And we need to let that sink in this morning. We need to let that sink in deep into our hearts. And that's why we need to hide the word of God in our heart, is because God's word is truth. And as we considered in previous weeks, Satan does not tempt God's people when we are on the mountaintop. He tempts us after we're hungry and haven't eaten for 40 days and 40 nights, like he did with Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. He attempts to deceive us by wiles, by cunning wiles and deceptive schemes. He attempts to deceive God's children and God's people when we're at our weakest moment. And that is why we have to have our loins girded up with truth. We have to have the loins of our mind girded up with the truth of God's word and have that sword of the Spirit in our hand to combat the wiles of Satan. Because remember, how did Jesus combat the wiles of Satan, the temptations of Satan in Matthew chapter 4? He beat him back all three temptations. He withstood them, but he didn't just withstand them. He offensively attacked Satan with what? With the word of God. And the word of God is truth. And what's it based on? What's the word of God based on? Jesus is the word, capital W, and the word of God is truth, and Jesus is truth. John chapter 14 and verse 6, right? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And the only reason why God's word is the standard of truth here in this world is because it is the revelation of the truth, Jesus Christ. So we take the sword of truth that the captain of our salvation has inspired for us and preserved for us, and we put on that girdle of truth, we gird up the loins of our mind, and we take up that sword of the Spirit, and we combat the wiles of Satan. And by the way, how do we withstand the deceptive tactics of Satan? We're told in John chapter 8 and verse 44 that Satan is the father of lies. He corrupts the word of God. What does Satan do? He corrupts truth, right? God's word is truth. And Satan is all about trying to corrupt truth, trying to corrupt the word of God. That's what happened originally in the garden. Satan deceived and undermined in Eve's mind and in Adam's mind. He undermined the authority and the truth of God's word. And that's been Satan's deceptive tactic. We don't need to be ignorant of Satan's devices. And right at the top of Satan's list of his devices is getting us to question and to doubt the truth of God's word. That's why we need to have our loins girded about with truth, right? Satan is the father of lies. But how do you combat lies? By truth, right? By standing up for the truth of God's word and preaching the truth. And the truth will always defeat error. We need to remember that. Jesus Christ will always defeat Satan. Truth will always defeat lies. And the word of God and the sword of the Spirit and the belt of truth will always withstand when we utilize them properly. Not trusting in our own confidence, not trusting in our faithfulness to the truth, because we can't be faithful in and of ourselves. We rely on the enabling power and strength and the Holy Spirit of God to be able to serve God acceptably and faithfully. We trust that the Lord will strengthen his army. We trust in the faithfulness of the captain of our salvation. But we need to be prepared, though, child of God. We've been drafted into this army. We have been called into the army of God, and we have to be prepared to fight. We have to gird up our loins, pick up that robe, and make sure we're not hindered in any way in the heat and in the midst of this battle. And how do we, again, gird up the loins of our mind? We gird it up with truth. We gird it up with the word of God. We combat the temptations and the wiles of Satan by truth and by protecting our abdomen, protecting our middle vulnerable spot with the truth of God's word. Gird up the loins of your mind. And let's look very quickly, just a few verses that make reference to girding up and how the Lord girds us and how the Lord strengthens us. And I would encourage you, this is just a small sampling of some scriptures that reference this. I would encourage you to search in both the Old and the New Testament the word gird, G-I-R-D, and all derivatives of it, gird, the verb, and girdle, the instrument that you use to gird up your loins. I would encourage you to search this and look at all of these references. It will be a very profitable study for you, I believe. But we want to highlight in Psalm chapter 18 and in verse 32, it is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. Verse 39, for thou hast girded me with strength under the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Remember, it's God that girds us with strength. Our strength is not in and of ourselves. Our power is not in ourselves. It's in Christ. It's in the captain of our salvation. We're strong in the Lord and the power of His might, not strong in and of ourselves. So God girds us with strength, the captain of our salvation. And He also girds us with gladness. There's great joy in service to the Lord. Psalm chapter 30 and in verse 11, thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. God girds us with gladness. There is great joy in service to God, especially when we have our loins girt about with truth. And when we're girding our loins with truth, understand we're girding our loins with Jesus Christ, okay? Because He is truth. So we're girding ourselves, we're protecting ourselves with Jesus. And that's a very good thing to be girded with, right? Amen. So we're truly girding ourselves with Jesus. Notice this prophecy in Isaiah chapter 11, and we know from the first verse of this chapter, this is speaking of Jesus Christ, because there was a rod that was going to come out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch, capital B, branch, would grow out of its roots. And then continuing on in that same context, describing this branch, it says in verse 5 of Isaiah chapter 11, and righteousness shall be the girdle of His loins, and faithfulness the girdle of His reins. So Jesus has His loins girt about with righteousness. Now, we don't have any righteousness in and of ourselves. During our next time on the program, we'll consider the next piece of equipment that the Lord has given to His soldiers in His army. The second piece being the breastplate of righteousness. The imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ is given to us. And notice, not only the breastplate, but here in Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 5, we're told that Jesus' loins is girt about with what? Righteousness and faithfulness. He has girded Himself with righteousness and faithfulness. And we need to follow His example and gird ourselves up with righteousness and service to the Lord and faithfulness. And then we have this beautiful depiction in Revelation chapter 1, describing the glorified Jesus and describing different components of His body. And I would encourage you to compare and contrast. We probably won't have time to do that this morning, and we may not get back around to it in a later message. But I would encourage you to compare and contrast these descriptions of Jesus, such as in Revelation chapter 1 of His glorified image, and then the things that He's wearing that are very similar to the components of the armor of God that we're considering from Ephesians chapter 6. So we see Jesus in this glorified state and in the midst of the seven candlesticks. This is verse 13 of Revelation chapter 1. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one likened to the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to His foot. All right, so He's talking about a robe. He naturally is wearing a garment down to His foot, so He's wearing a long robe. But in this depiction, is that robe ungirded, and is it going down to the ground? No, instead, that robe naturally goes down to His feet, but instead it's girded up. A man clothed with a garment down to his foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. So Jesus has girded Himself up. And remember, what's His belt? What's the belt that Jesus uses to gird up His loins? We've seen from Isaiah chapter 11, it's righteousness and faithfulness. And we need to gird ourselves with those as well. Gird ourselves with righteousness and faithfulness. But particularly in this battle of warfare that we're in, we need to gird ourselves with truth. Gird ourselves with the Word of God to protect ourselves against the lies and the deception of Satan, having our loins girt about with truth. So child of God, gird up the loins of your mind. Don't be frivolous. Don't be laissez-faire. Don't be plumb lazy in discipleship. No, if we're in a battle, soldiers have to be trained. Soldiers have to have good mobility, and we need to pick up that robe, gird it up, and be ready for battle. Be prepared. Be prepared to take up in conjunction with the belt of truth and the girdle of truth, take up in conjunction with that the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, which is the sword of truth, the sword of Jesus Christ. We hope to consider the breastplate of righteousness during our next time on the program, and we hope that this message has been profitable. And again, I would encourage you, as you have time, to do some further studies on all the references to girding up, and a girdle in the Bible. I believe that'll be a very profitable study for you if you take the time to do that. But this week, gird up the loins of your mind, put on that belt and girdle of truth, and take up along with it the sword of the Spirit and the Word of God in our warfare of faith in service to the captain of our salvation. May God bless you this week.